Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. Why would issues of health be connected to the dramatic dropout rate we are finding in urban education today? We'll be talking about that in a few minutes, but first, health care reform. The next phase for implementing the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, which many call Obamacare, begins tomorrow. That's when health insurance marketplaces or exchanges open, allowing Americans to shop for the best health insurance options. Many will find this open enrollment process complicated. However, there are tools available to guide consumers. We'll be talking about the process on today's first segment. Joining me by phone to discuss navigating that process is Nanette Foster Riley, the Consortium Administrator at CMS, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services at the Kansas City Regional Office. CMS is currently administering many provisions of the Affordable Care Law. Nan, nice to have you with us.
Thank you for having me, Don.
I'm going to give our phone number right away because I'm sure there are a number of people who will have questions. That number is 382-8255. That's 382-TALK. Send us an email at talk@stlpublicradio.org or send us a tweet at STL on air. Nan, what I'd like to do is just go through some of the basics before we get to some specifics. Who is eligible here in Missouri for taking advantage of these exchanges?
Well, Don, one of the things that's important for people to know is that about 15% of Americans are uninsured, and those are the folks that we are hoping will be able to enroll in the marketplace. We're looking for them to gain access to quality, affordable health care from private health insurance companies. The marketplace opens October 1st, and anyone who does not have that good coverage already who is a resident and wishes to apply will be able to enroll in the marketplace.
We are just talking about people who do not have health insurance at the moment.
That's correct. For about 85% of Americans that already have insurance, the only thing the Affordable Care Act does is help protect that insurance through several kinds of insurance reforms, including making sure that insurance companies spend 80% of your premium dollars on actual care and not profits or overhead. Those protections are in place for the 85% who already have insurance through an employer, through their parents. But for that 15% of Americans who are uninsured or who are buying in the individual market and find their insurance just very, very expensive, those are the consumers that we want to encourage to shop in the marketplace.
Missouri doesn't have state-run exchanges. They have federally run exchanges. Does that make the process more complicated for Missourians?
I don't think that it does, Don. Each state has the opportunity to operate their own state-based health insurance marketplace. Some states, including Missouri, made the decision not to operate their own marketplace. However, what we're finding is that the competition among health plans is there in the federally facilitated marketplace. The choice is there. The premiums are there. About the only thing I would say is that if a state operated its own marketplace, they might be able to customize that that consumer experience a little bit more to their state. For the federally run marketplaces, we just have one website and that kind of thing. But largely, the program is still the same.
Does it have to be done online?
We like to say that consumers can find out about, apply for, and enroll in coverage online, on the phone, or in person. And I can talk about each one of those in turn.
Okay, well, let's do it, and then we'll start taking some calls.
Okay, great. So first this summer, we launched the new and improved healthcare.gov website. You did ask if it needed to be done online. It absolutely can be done online, but it doesn't have to be. But for those who do want to explore their options online, healthcare.gov is the marketplace's consumer-facing online home. Right now, today, individuals, families, and small business owners can visit healthcare.gov to start getting ready for open enrollment. And, of course, the premiums and the plans will be on that website starting tomorrow. Then the on-the-phone part is we have a consumer call center. This is a call center that's open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And the toll-free number there is 1-800-318-2596. I'll be happy to repeat that several times.
We'll put it on our website as well, Nan. We'll put it on our website.
Mm-hmm. This call center is already helping to answer questions about the marketplace and help consumers get ready. Again, starting tomorrow, it's going to be able to provide personalized assistance for callers who are filling out their application or selecting a plan. So they can actually do all of this on the phone as well. And then finally, we're building a network of certified organizations that will provide that in-person assistance to those that need it. We have grantees called navigators. We also have certified application counselors at a lot of organizations out there. And then all of this local face-to-face help is going to be listed on our healthcare.gov website. It will be searchable by zip code. So we're certainly encouraging consumers to go to healthcare.gov, sign up for updates, and find out where they can get local help.
Do we have enough trained navigators to handle the expected load? There was some question that we wouldn't have enough by tomorrow.
I think that we have enough navigators and certified application counselors to provide the in-person assistance that people need. We're continuing to train more. There's something like 51,000 individuals, navigators, certified application counselors, agents, and brokers, 51,000 of them that we've trained so far, and we're continuing to train more.
What is the range of choices and options that people will have?
Well, Missouri consumers, and we put out a little bit of information about the average premiums and average number of plans last week. And again, the plans and premiums will be available for shopping online tomorrow. But in Missouri, consumers on average are going to have about 17 qualified health plans to choose from. And in Illinois, they'll have about 58 qualified health plans to choose from.
And there is a timeline.
The timeline is very important, and what's really important for everyone to know is that tomorrow is the opening of the marketplace. It's a beginning, not an end. It's not a deadline. October 1st begins a six-month-long open enrollment period. It runs through March 31st of 2014. So there's plenty of time for consumers to shop around, apply for coverage, and enroll. Anyone who does so by the 15th of December, we'll have their coverage start the earliest date it possibly can, which is January 1st. So there's a 2.5 months and to shop and decide what plan you want to enroll in and still be effective January 1st. But then that open enrollment period continues on through the end of March.
Everyone wants to know about the cost. Is it going to be very competitive, do you think? Are people going to be able to save money through this process compared to what might have happened before this act went into effect? What about penalties and what about subsidies?
Okay. Well, there's a lot to talk about in all of that.
Right, I know.
What we released last week was some information about nationwide premiums, and those premiums have actually been coming in under projections. The Congressional Budget Office projected a certain level of premiums, and the premiums that we're seeing are under those projections by about 16%. And we're seeing that in other states as well. So we're pleased with the fact that competition is already pushing the premiums down, and that's even before subsidies and the extra help is available. I should make sure that everyone knows that by shopping in the marketplace, consumers may be able to get lower costs on monthly premiums in the form of what we call advanced premium tax credits. Individuals and families with household incomes between 100 and 400% of the poverty level will qualify for some help, and that's a pretty generous maximum. So, for example, a family of four could earn between $22,000, a little bit more than $22,000, and about $89,000, and receive some assistance with paying their monthly health insurance premium if they purchase through the marketplace. And those with household incomes under 250% of the poverty level will get help on cost sharing, things like co-payments and deductibles. So there are affordable premiums on the marketplace. Then there's also additional help for someone who has an income between those two levels.
And penalties?
The Affordable Care Act does require people who do not have minimum essential coverage to get insurance. So, for instance, someone who already has insurance through their employer, anyone who's on Medicare, it's very important for them to understand that they don't need to shop in the marketplace. They have all the coverage that they need. But for those who do not have any of that, they are asked to take responsibility and purchase insurance through the marketplace with help from subsidies if that's needed. And there is a penalty that would be reconciled with someone's 2014 tax return. So this would not kick in until when an individual or family files their tax return in 2015. The penalty for not having insurance is 1% of income or $95 for every adult in the first year. The penalty will continue to increase after that, but that is what the penalty is in the first year.
Let's take some calls, Nan. We have a number of people who want to get into the conversation. We'll start with Keith calling from Chesterfield. Go ahead, Keith.
Yes, I currently have insurance through Anthem, and I heard on one of the TV stations last week that BJC, through who my primary physician is involved, may not be involved with Obamacare. I thought under Obamacare I wouldn't have to switch insurance companies or switch doctors.
So one of the things that is important for you to remember is that if you're shopping in the marketplace, you'll be able to look at the networks that those health plans have in their plans. It is required in the marketplace for the plans to have networks of providers that are sufficient in number and in specialty and in location so that everyone can get the care that they need under the plan. Now, I don't know whether you're talking about a marketplace plan or whether you're talking about maybe your employer-sponsored coverage. I know with my employer-sponsored coverage, it seems like the network changes every year, so you could be experiencing a network change that your plan has put in place.
So this is individual coverage that I have, and I hadn't planned on switching, but if my doctor isn't, I can't go to my doctor anymore, I don't know what to do.
Well, one of the things that you can do if you're shopping in the marketplace is each of the plans will have their website links on the marketplace, and so you will be able to look at what the plan network is, and you'll be able to find your doctor. You can also talk to your doctor about what plans he or she is participating in.
All right, Keith, we thank you for the call. Joe Ree is up next, calling from St. Louis. Go ahead, Joe Ree.
Good morning. I would like to know if the originally there was something said about people getting a refund from their insurance company unless if the insurance company did not spend 80% of their premium on that patient. And I do know a few people who got one last year. Now, my question is that still possible? And if so, why is it not talked about? Because it would be a hell of a selling point for particularly the young people who probably won't use that much anyway. And the other thing is I wonder if it is still in vogue, does it apply to businesses? In other words, if their premiums are not used up, the 80% is not used up, do the business get a refund? Those are my two questions.
Okay, Jody, thank you very much. First of all, yes, that provision is still in place. That's been in place since shortly after the Affordable Care Act was passed. And I don't have any statistics right in front of me, but there are a lot of consumers across the country that have gotten these rebates. I'm glad to hear that you know someone that got one as well. Billions of dollars in these rebates have been issued since the Affordable Care Act was passed and this regulation was put into place. One of the things that we've seen is the number of the rebates has actually gone down a little bit, and that's really good news because what that means is we're not having to penalize the insurance companies after the fact for not spending 80%. They're spending at least 80% of your premium dollars on actual care or improvement to begin with, and they don't have to give out rebates. And by the way, I should mention that for large group plans, it's not 80%, it's 85%. So for large group plans, they have to spend 85% of your premium dollars on care. And for the rest of them, it's 80%. We are trying to talk about this. One of the things we focus on a lot is the 15% of folks who don't have insurance. But I always like to talk about the fact that there are 85% of people with insurance have better protections for that insurance. But it doesn't matter whether it's outside the marketplace or inside the marketplace. That 80-20 rule is really in place. It applies to all insurance products. So I'm trying to get to your second question about businesses. If a business purchased insurance on behalf of its employees, that regulation would apply in that case as well.
Jody, thanks very much. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I hope Jody can help us spread the word.
All right, I'm sure she'll do that. One quick question concerning Medicare recipients. Can they supplement Medicare through these exchanges?
It wouldn't make sense for a Medicare beneficiary to supplement. The plans that are offered in the marketplace are comprehensive plans that cover the 10 essential benefits. They cover much more than a supplement plan would need to. So, no, a Medicare beneficiary does not need to supplement their Medicare with a marketplace plan. It would be unnecessary and more than they would need.
All right. Another call. Mary is calling from St. Louis. Go ahead, Mary.
Hi. Yes, my question is about Medicaid recipients. I work with several persons who are eligible for Medicaid, but they don't take the coverage because the spend down is cost prohibitive. A spend down would be something that we might call a copay.
Right.
But, you know, but with Medicaid, it's called a spend down. And, you know, people often just won't take the Medicaid coverage because the spend down is too high, so they're going without coverage. So the fact that those people are choosing to not take Medicaid, would they be eligible to shop for insurance in the marketplace?
They probably would be eligible to shop for insurance in the marketplace, but I would imagine that the marketplace will identify them as potentially eligible for Medicaid as well, and might ask them if they want to apply for that help. If they don't want to, I don't believe that there's anything that would compel them to in the marketplace, although they might not be eligible for some of the subsidies in the marketplace, but they could shop in the marketplace.
Got you. Okay, well, thank you so much.
While we're on the subject of Medicaid, our own science reporter, Veronique LaCapra, has a question. What, if anything, is being done to help people below the federal poverty level who cannot qualify for a tax subsidy in the marketplace? As, for instance, people who would have been covered in Missouri Medicaid if it had been expanded.
Right. This is something that I know some of your listeners have some concerns about. Expanding Medicaid was a state option. The way the Affordable Care Act was originally designed, consumers up to 100% of poverty level would be covered by Medicaid, and then the marketplace would kick in after that. But when the Medicaid expansion became an option rather than a requirement, some states chose not to do that. But those under 100% don't qualify for the subsidies in the marketplace because it wasn't designed to cover them. I would say that someone in that situation could shop in the marketplace. They wouldn't be eligible for the subsidies, and so I don't know how affordable the coverage would be, but they could shop in the marketplace. The other thing is, obviously, people in this situation would never be penalized for not having insurance. And then finally, I would say that there is a fairly robust safety network of providers that has been taking care of people who are in this situation now, and that safety net continues to be there.
But there's no guarantee that they're going to wind up with coverage.
There's no guarantee that they would be able to get coverage in the marketplace. And they're not covered now, and that doesn't change after the marketplace is put in place.
So among the most needy are the people who might not wind up with coverage.
That is an unfortunate reality that there are some of those adults who are less than 100% of the poverty level that won't be able to get subsidies in the marketplace.
One might have to assume that if this thing continues to progress as is prescribed by law right now, that this is something Congress could go back and address at another time. But that's an assumption.
Well, it's something Congress could go back and address at another time. It's also something that the state may want to address. I know that there are a number of states that are still considering their options. There are conversations about what to do about Medicaid expansion. And so that conversation is continuing in some states. And hopefully the situations that real people find themselves in will be able to inform that discussion.
Nan, a lot of people are anticipating that there will be some glitches from the get-go on this thing. It'll take a little time to iron them out. Is there any point in recommending that people just wait a little bit before getting in on this to see what the glitches are and wait until they are, in fact, resolved?
I think that's an individual decision, Don. The marketplace will be open, and people will be able to shop tomorrow, but if you want to wait a week or two or even several weeks, that's okay, too. There's nothing wrong with that. As I said, if you enroll on October 1st, your coverage is effective January 1st. If you enroll on November 1st, it's still effective January 1st. And if you enroll on December 1st, it's still effective January 1st. So if someone wanted to wait just a few days, there's no reason not to do that. The coverage would still be effective January 1st.
Okay. Another
the
call.
The marketplace will be open.
Great. The online opportunity is 24/7?
Yes. The marketplace online is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And I should also mention, and again, this is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, there's a live web chat feature on healthcare.gov. So they can go to healthcare.gov, navigate it on their own. They can go to healthcare.gov, and if they want to talk to someone, they can web chat on that site as well.
I know your time is somewhat limited, but I want to get another call in. Randy will join us from South St. Louis. Go ahead, Randy. You're on the air.
Hi. How are you guys doing? I'm just kind of curious about the subsidies. I'm going to look into getting insurance. I haven't had insurance since I got off my dad's plan. I'm 33 years old now, so I'm like, I haven't seen a doctor in 10 years. I was hoping to get some idea of an average monthly cost, and then, like, when would I get reimbursed for, like, me and my family putting me and my wife on the plan?
Okay, well, first of all, Randy, you're one of the people that the marketplace is designed for, so glad to hear you're going to be shopping. In Missouri, the average premium, and again, I have to say these are averages. The costs are different in different places. The lowest cost plan at what we call the silver level, and you need to understand that there are bronze, silver, gold, and platinum plans, increasing in price. The lowest cost plan at the silver level is going to be about $318. That's an average. Bronze will be about $245. And that's without any kind of subsidies or help with the premiums. And you asked how that would work. If you apply for coverage in the marketplace and you are eligible for a help with your premiums, you have the choice, and it's really a tax credit is what it is, Randy. You have the choice to take that tax credit right away and reduce your monthly premiums. So in other words, you can apply some of your tax credit to your premiums. That money goes straight to the insurance company to help pay your premiums, and then you pay the balance. And I've got another example here. This would be for someone who is in St. Louis and is about 27 years old and makes around $25,000 a year. They'll pay around $76 a month for the lowest cost bronze plan. And then, and that would be taking into account some subsidies. So, and another example is a family of four in the St. Louis rating area with an income of about $50,000 a year. Their lowest cost plan could be as little as $32 a month. Again, that's taking into account that the subsidies that they would qualify for. And again, those subsidies are available up front for you, Randy. So, I hope that you find a plan that works for you, and I'm glad you'll be shopping in the marketplace.
And people like Randy are very important, Nan, aren't they? Because you need a lot of young people to get into this process.
Well, people have said a great deal about that, that we need a lot of young people. It's more than about having a balanced risk pool, and that's what that is in insurance parlance, is basically a balanced risk pool. It's really about making sure that people have coverage. There are some young people who purportedly, people tell me, I haven't heard this from a lot of young people myself. I've heard a whole lot more from people like Randy who say, I haven't been to a doctor in a long time and I want insurance. But they've talked about young people sitting out the marketplace and just paying the penalty. Well, they can do that, but they still won't have coverage. And one of the things I think is important for everyone, young consumers and all consumers, to understand that if you go without coverage, you're really at risk of the financial negative effects of not having insurance. Not everyone realizes that if you break an arm or break a leg, it could cost you $7,500. Or appendicitis, which someone from 25 to 95 could get, may end up costing you $30,000 because it was a three-day hospital stay. So it's more than just having that balanced risk pool. It's really about protecting people from the negative financial effects of not having insurance.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, and about keeping them healthier because they've got preventive care.
I have one final question. I know you have to go soon, but I want to get this email from Sue in. Due to pre-existing conditions, my husband and I can't find affordable care. We're paying $1,300 a month for COBRA. I know we'll do better once the exchanges are up, but until January 1st, we seem stuck with this exorbitant amount, which is almost equal to my unemployment money. We have considered having no coverage until January to save $3,900. We'll be paying through December, but are worried about doing that. We are losing all savings. Do you have suggestions for this bridge time?
I wish that the marketplace coverage was effective sooner to help folks like Sue and her family. The coverage is not effective until January 1st, and she brings up a very, very important point, which is that starting January 1st, both inside the marketplace and outside the marketplace, that discrimination based on pre-existing conditions is going to be banned when shopping for the health for health insurance. So I wish that was available sooner.
Yes, and I'm sure she does as well. I got to let you go, but you have some an informational event taking place here in St. Louis this week you wanted to mention?
We do, absolutely. At the St. Louis County Health Campus on Friday, October 4th, from 1 to 4 p.m., we will have a health insurance marketplace presentation. We'll be doing a healthcare.gov online demonstration, and we'll have a Q&A session as well. So people will be able to meet the local resource personnel and get some personalized help if they like. So if they want more information, they can contact the St. Louis County Department of Health, and that's 314-615-1600. Again, that's Friday, October 4th.
Okay, we'll get that information on our website. I know you have a phone bank with our friends at KSDK operating as well. And Nan, thank you so much. It's Nan Foster Riley, Consortium Administrator at the Kansas City Regional Office Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. Thank you so much for being with us, Nan.
John, thank you very much for having me on today.
Good. Thank you once again. When we come back, how the health of young students may be more of a contributing factor to kids dropping out of school than most of us might have thought. That's coming up. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.